first we have to decide what a Jew's attitude towards Eretz Yisrael from the halachic perspective should be. Everybody knows that unfortunately in the Orthodox community there is a lot of divisiveness in the from the halachic perspective should be. Everybody knows that unfortunately in the Orthodox community there is a lot of divisiveness in regard to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, there is a lot of divisiveness in the general Jewish community, Orthodox or secular. But when the secular Jewish community is divided in regard to the attitude and the approach that is to be adopted by Jews towards Eretz Yisrael, so it's understandable. Secular Jews are not motivated by halacha. They don't want to be motivated by a Torah perspective. So naturally, it's the daily sishene, so there is a lot of divide. But it is surprising and amazing and astounding that in the Orthodox Jewish community, there is just as much divisiveness in regard to Eretz Yisrael as in the secular community, and perhaps even more in a certain sense. After all, Orthodox Jews are all consciously motivated by Torah and by Halacha. Why should there be such a divide? There are Orthodox Jews, not that can be recalled, even those who are outside the orbit of Mitorika, who have a very negative attitude towards Yom HaTzmaut, to such an extent that if somebody, so needless to mention, there are some of the Jews, and don't say the majority of Orthodox Jews feel that way, but there are certain Orthodox Jews who consider any Jew who doesn't say Tachna Yom HaTzmaut is that he's not a Torah Jew, not only if he says Hallel without the bar, but even if he doesn't say Tachna. In other words, Yom HaTzmaut, according to the point of view of certain other Jews, has to be treated like a regular day, no difference but her. And of course, there are Jews say Hallel, like Jews who say half Hallel, that's what she says, whole Hallel. There are even Jews who say a Bracha, and there are even Jews, I mean, this certainly doesn't make sense from any point of view. They say Hallel at night too, I mean, that is altogether ridiculous. So, there is a lot of divisiveness. So, I'm a Jew, and I have my point of view too, and I been convinced as much as any other Jew in the world that my approach is based upon Allah and upon Allah exclusively. So, is Medinas Yisrael to be considered as a very important event of colossal significance, epoch-making significance? Now, there are Jews, Orthodox Jews, who consider the Eretz Yisrael as halted goal. I don't like to be halted over semantics, but I'll discuss that too. In my opinion, according to the regular Girsim Sifrim in Parshas Borim, the Medinas Yisrael is mentioned in the Sifrim. In the Parshas Borim, the passage, the beginning of Borim, where the Benishon says, Re'ei nosati lifneichem es oretz, boyu oshu es oretz, asha nishba adishem la viseichem, לאברום, ליצחוק וליעקב, לא סיס להם ולזר המחרי. So, the Torah says, לא סיס להם ולזר המחרי. So, who is להם? Whom does להם have reference to? And whom does לזר המחרי have reference to? It certainly doesn't mean that להם has reference to the first generation Jews who arrived in Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yeshua. And their children, so that's Lizar Machri. What difference does it make? Third generation, second generation, tenth generation. So the Sifri has two issues. Then the Sifri says, now I say, according to the regular Gilse, because the Goyen changes the Gilse of the Sifri. The Varachaya, Losis Lohem Elo Eli Boda. So Losis Lohem has reference to the Jews of the Second Commonwealth of Bioshnio, who settled in Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Ezra, of Haggai, Sharia, Malachi, so Bobel, Ezra Nechem. That's the book. What's about the Bior Sheno, the Boy Oretz? So according to the second Lashon in Sifri, when the Torah says, Re'ei nosati lifneichem es oretz, boyu urshu es oretz, asher nishba adishem la viseichem, le'avrom yitzhak le'yakov. So when the Torah says, boyu urshu, go ahead and take possession of the land that Hashem swore unto your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So to whom is the tzivu of Boyo Oshu directed? Again, to the Boyo Oretz. So that's the Jews of the Boyo Oretz, the Eitz Mitzrayim, as they are called. So they, when the Torah says, Los Yisrael, it couldn't have reference to the Boyo Oretz, because the Boyo Oretz is already mentioned in Boyo Shu. So Los Yisrael has reference to Leir Boba, Bioshnio. Uzarom, Elubneir, that's regular guess. Lizarom, so the expression Los Yisrael has reference to the Bioshnio, the second commonwealth. Lizarom has reference to their children. What do you mean children? The children of the original alien who settled in Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Ezra Nechemia. So the Torah has to mention a special passage. So why doesn't the Torah mention a special passage in respect to the grandchildren and a special passage in respect to the great-grandchildren? It's one Yerusha. So Luzaron, so he says, Elubneim, the children, Achreim, but the Torah says, Goyu Efshu Es Oretz, Asher Nishba Adishem La Viseichem, Le'Abrom, Yitzchok, Le'Yakov, Losis Lohem, Ulizar Amachay. So, Goyu Efshu has reference to the Bior Sheim, to the first commonwealth. And Losis Lohem has reference to the second commonwealth. Ulzarom has reference to the children of the settlers in the second commonwealth. Achreim, Eilu Yimei Samashiach. So obviously, according to this verse, and this is the regular verse, so there are three things mentioned. Three possessions, three Yerushas orders. One is Boyoshu, that's Biyorishenu, the first commonwealth. The Yerusha in the first commonwealth. And then the second, Yehusha is mentioned, Lo Seis Lohem, Eloi Leboga, then Zaron, a third Yehusha, and the Harein Yemes HaMashiach. Now, it's very clear what Yemes HaMashiach is. What Elibodo represents. But the question is, it's not clear what Uzzalem represents, Elibneyev. The children of the Elibodo. It doesn't mean the children, they're immediate children. It means descendants who are involved in separate Yerusha. What must it have reference to? Obviously, in Genesis 4. So, any Jew who is reminding the Torah and who uses common sense, and if he reads it according to this Gersa, must come to the conclusion that Ulizarom Elubneyev has reference to their taking possession in the Genesis 4. Now, the halacha is that Kedusha Rishayno is Kitcho Rishayto, the Lord Kitcho Rishayto. Well, this is the Psak of the Rambam, most the Shayno. There is of Rashi and the Bala Tomal that we pass in the Tidin Bishe Shriya is Kitcha Lushaita with Kitcha Shriya. But the Rambam most Rashi passed in. Whereas Dusha Rishayna is Kitcha Lushaita the Roy Kitcha Lushaita with Dusha Shriya is Kitcha Lushaita with Kitcha Shriya. Harbe Kochim Kopshu Ele Mitzrayim Vele Kopshu Ele Boda like Pichon. Some melee, those mechanics that the Mitzrayim took possession of, and the Lubavitcher not, has no vicious Arsizma. He's not hiding from his mice. It's a Arsizma. Now the question is, in the 1967 war, in the Melchemes Sheshes Hayomim, so then the state of Israel occupied many, many territories that the Ribobel did not settle upon, like Bishon and other parts. So the question is, does it have Kedushas Haaretz or it doesn't have Kedushas Haaretz? Now, we passed in the Kibush Yochim is Loishmei Kibush. So in order to be studying Kedushas Haaretz Israel, then it must be taken possession of to a kibush rabbi. What is a kibush rabbi? So according to the Rambam, kibush rabbi means if it was taken possession of the melech, of the nobi, midas bez nagodu, midas. Of course, from that point of view, so the kibush by the Medinas Yisrael in 1967 is not Kiddush Rabbi. However, according to Tesis in Yitni, and according to Tesis in Abizore, so any territory that was included in the Matonet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu, so even if Yochid in Israel, like Yoyre Nash, or a single Jew conquers it, if it is included in the territory that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu, so Yisrael Mosek, as you have to say, soites it been of Kiddush Rabin, even if it was done by a single Jew, like Yoya ben Nasi, the Rambam, Shikhi is not. That even Afilo Mohoretz, the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Truma, Afilo Mohoretz shenitno la'Avraham Avinu, מיוחי וישבת ומשפחו, הולכו בקופשו, אין לארץ ישראל, so he doesn't have to show ארץ ישראל. Of course, it doesn't show ארץ ישראל, it belongs to us anyway, without Kiddush, but it doesn't have Kiddush as ארץ ישראל. Now, the question is, how can this Shita be explained? The Rambam Shita doesn't require any explanation, because Kibush Rabin, by definition, means the kibush done by the whole Knesset Yisrael. And if it's done by Yochid, even Mishpoche, even whole Shevet, not Midas with Yisrael, and not Midas with Nagodol, and not Al-Bimelech, and not Al-Binovi, how can it be attributed to the Klal Yisrael? But the question is, why does Teisve say that if it is of the territory that is written Avraham Avinu, even if a single Jew conquered it, so it is still considered Kibush Rabin? The answer is, Kibush Yochid or Kibush Rabin doesn't depend. Of course, Rashi Shita is different. Rashi Shita in Avizori is written that if the participants in the Kibush are less than 600,000 Jews, so then it's not Kibush Rabin. But the other Rishonim do not agree with Rashi. So, whether a certain Kibush is considered Kibush Yochid or is considered Kibush Rabin, it doesn't make a difference whether the participants in the Muhammad are, let's say, 10 Jews, 100 Jews, 1,000 Jews, or a million Jews, or 10 million Jews. If the kibush is a kibush by the whole Umma Yisraelis, by the Tzibur, as a unit, as one person, then it is kibush Rabin. And if the kibush, even if the participants are 10 million Jews, 50 million Jews, but if it is done not by the whole Jewish people as one person, but individually, so then it's a kibush yochid. Doesn't make any difference whether it's a kibush of one yochid, or a kibush of 10 yochidim, or a kibush of 100 yochidim, or a kibush of 1,000 yochidim, or a kibush of 1,000,000 yochidim, or a kibush by 10,000,000 individuals. When is a kibush rabim? When the kibush can be attributed to Klal Yisrael as one person. So mele teisve shita is, because of the mitzvah of Bolu or Shu'es Oretz, and the Ramban mentions it in the Mi'an HaMitzves, in the Mi'an HaMitzves, as a mitzvah, the Sifri calls it, Doilo Yeshiva Sar Tisroel, Kineget Kol HaTeiro Kulo, Kater Kulo. So because of the mitzvah of Yerusha Sar Oretz, so even Tzotes Veshike in Gittin, in Avizori, even if a Yochid in Israel does the Kiddush. But he does it for the Jewish people, so it's Nisyachens to the whole Klal Yisrael. And it doesn't make any difference whether he's an Orthodox Jew or he's not an Orthodox Jew. Even if he's not an Orthodox Jew, the Kesef Mishneh, the Kesef Mishneh in Rishmita B'Yevil says, and that is the Shite of Men of Shemin, not a Rambam Shite, but Men of Shemin, that Iver HaYarden had Kedusha Sa'aretz Yisroel by Yishayim, even though the fact is that the Eli Bobel did not settle in Iver HaYarden. This is a historical fact, no one denies it. Still, the Shita of Rabban Tam is that Iver HaYarden is considered to Kapshur Ledom. So the Mishnah explains it, because while the Eli Bobel did not settle in Iver HaYarden, but Yanai HaMelech was Kedesh Iver HaYarden. Who was Yanai HaMelech? Yanai HaMelech was Yitzduki. Yanai HaMelech was not a bigger tzaddik than Ben-Gurion. In any way, Yanai HaMelech not only was Yitzduki, but he even killed Chachmei Yisrael. And still the tradition says that it was miscarried to Yusha's earth soil because of the kibush by Yana Amalek. Yana Amalek. So in other words, because of Amalek. And that's how the Tamshit in Yibonis. The Tamshit in Yibonis and Chagiyah. Because that's the call in case the Shitin Abizor and Yikim. That if it is the Orech and Yitlal Avram Abinu, because of the mitzvah of Boyu Shua Sa'orets, some melee, even when Yochid does it. But if Yochid does it for Klal Yisrael, even if he's a Tzduk, and even if he's a Roshe, like Yana HaMelech, but he did it for Klal Yisrael, so it's a tribute to Klal Yisrael. And whether he's Orthodox or not Orthodox doesn't make any difference. Now, the Rambam Shita is different, however. The Rambam Shita is that even the Orech and Nitno L'Avrom Avinu. So, if it was not, the Kibush did not take place in Das Rev Yisrael or in Das Bez Nagodu or Aldi Melech or Aldi Novi, so then it's Kibush Yochid. Because in order to be attributed to Klal Yisrael, so that it is not just a kibush by 10 million yechidim, individual Jews, but a kibush by the whole Ummah Yisraelis. As one person, it has to be done either midas bez nagodol, so they represent Klal Yisrael, or midas rev Yisrael, and it has to be done under the leadership of the Melech or Inovi, who is a manig of Klal Yisrael. But if it's not Aldi Melech, a Shefet, even the Shefetim, the Zmana Shefetim, then it does not have a Shem Kibush Rabbi. So Memele, in regard to the Shaila, how about all the Mekimis, that the Bodo were not Kibush, and it was taken by the Israeli army in the Melchame Sheish Sayyam, do they have Dushas Arts Yisrael or not? So according to the Rambam, they don't have Dushas Arts Yisrael, because it's Kibush Yochid. But according to Tosfos, if it's the territory should meet Avraham Avinu, let's say Lot, so according to most Rishonim, it's not even of the Orech of Avraham Avinu. There are some Rishonim that Lot is in the Orech of Avraham Avinu, because it's mentioned in Melochim, the Shleina HaMelech took possession of Elat. But according to most Rishonim, I think, Elat was not part of the territory that is Nitl Avraham Avinu. Some Mele, it doesn't have Dushas Haaretz, even according to Tosfos. But the other Mekimis, that were part and parcel of the Orech Nitl Avraham Avinu, but they were not part and parcel of the Mekamei Shekopshua Libovel, so now that the state of Israel occupied them, so Mele it has a Chalishem Kibush Rabin, and it's attributed to Klal Yisrael. Doesn't make any difference who the leader was, Ben Gurion or Arav Levin, he's the leader, doesn't make any difference, even if a single Jew, is Kadesh, for Klal Yisrael, so then it's attributed to Klal Yisrael. So this Girsa, the regular Girsa of the Sifri, conforms, makes a lot of sense, according to the Shita of Tosfos, according to the Shita of Chabretam. So the Torah says, Rei nosati lifneichem es oretz, boyu shu es oretz, asher nishba adishem laviseichem, Le'avrom, Le'yitzhok, Le'yakov, Losis Lehem, Le'zalam Achayev. So the Varach here, Losis Lehem, Eloi Le'bobel. And where is Boy Oretz and the Yeshua? That's mentioned in the expression Boy Yoshu. After all, to whom is this posik of this mitzvah of Boy Yoshu directed? Towards the Boy Oretz. But then, Los Islahem has reference to the Eli Bobel. Uli Zaron has reference to the children, not Yimis HaMashiach. We haven't preached Yimis HaMashiach.
But Achrayim Elim Samshiach. So what Abnayim? You say the children of the Eli Bavel. That doesn't make sense. So why not a special posik for the grandchildren, a special posik for the great-grandchildren, and a special posik for the great-great-grandchildren? So you have, we'll probably need 100 expressions. The answer is, that's one Yehoshe. So Zarum definitely, according to this Gilse, has reference to Medilas Yisrael, whether the Torekarata likes it or not. But that's the Pshat. But however, the Gilses are grow, the grow changes the Gilse. And the grow changes the Gilse, Losis Lohem Elu Boi Oretz. Not the way it appears in the regular text. The Varache Losis Lohem Elu Eli Bobel, but Losis Lohem Elu Boi Oretz. Ulizarom Elu Eli Bobel. Achreyem Eilu Yimei Samashiach. So according to the Gilse Sagro, so Medina Sisrael is not mentioned in this Sifri, but that doesn't mean that the Gro was in the Torah Talmud, whereas all those who accept the regular Gilse were opposed to the Torah Talmud. Of course, that's ridiculous. Why does the Gro change the Gilse? I think the Gro changes the Gilse because the Gro agrees with the Shittas Rambam. So according to the Rambam, there couldn't be a Yerusha Soretz. I mean Yerusha Soretz in the sense that it's Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. Yerusha Soretz in the sense that we have a autonomy and sovereignty, of course there could be. But here the Posse is discussing the various Yerushas that affected Eretz Yisrael Dushin. So there couldn't be any Dusha Soretz between the Dusha Soretz that took effect by Eli Bovel and Yimei Samashiach. Because it's not a Kibush Rabbi. And we pass in Kibush Yochi, Loishmei Kibush. According to the Rambam, so all the Mikemis that Yana HaMelech was Kibush, do not have a Dushas Oretz, even the Mikenis that were Mitzvah of Rav, not because Yana HaMelech was his duki, but because it wasn't Alpi Melech. Yana HaMelech did not have a Din of Melech, and it wasn't Midas Bez Nagodu, it was the Kibush Rabbi. So Mele the Gro, because the Gro agrees with the Shittas Rambam, that in order to be Kibush Rabbi, it has to be Midas Bez Nagodu, Alpi Melech, Alpi Novi. And of course, between the Eli Bobel and the Mesa Mashiach, there couldn't be any Kedusha Soretz Chal on Eretz Yisrael, even on the Mekenes, Shenitno Le'Avrom Avinu, so Mimele he changed the gears. Just like all losses for him, Melu Boi Oretz, Ulzaro Melu Eli Bobel, Achreya Melu Mesa Mashiach. But the Gro did not change the Gilse because the Gro believed in the ideology of Netorekam. Now, then, but according to the other Gilse, the regular Gilse, so Medinas Yisrael is mentioned in this effect. Now, the Radak in Steel Shantili, Peri Kuf Memvod, Posi Gimel, says as follows. Ksiv, Kuf Memvod, Posi Gimel. Ksiv, Al Tiftichu Bin Gidin, Biden Odom Shein Lei Tishuo, Kila Vishem Li Badei Hachuo, Vihudi Se Abuzeno Al Dei Gimel. Uch Moishe Sibe Iftchua as Golus Bobel Al Dei Kiresh, King Lossi, he doesn't say Lossi Lobe. The expression Lossi Lobe has reference to Misa Mashiach. There's the usual expression. He says Lossi. And the Radak was a big dyke. Why did he say Lossi, not Lossi Lobe? But that will be before Misa Mashiach. It has nothing to do with Misa Mashiach. kingly osi, yisabu gulas Yisrael al dimalchi hagoyim, she yoyeres ruchom nishalchom, mishekosu deigiyu es kol achiche mikol hagoyim min chol adishem. So he says that losi, not losi glover, how the gula will take place, the real gula. Losi glover, no one knows, the Rambam says no, no one knows. We know that there will be a gula, but exactly what form it will take. So the Gemara itself says, "Biita achisheno zochu, bi achisheno loy zochu biita." So, but leosi before the Nisa Mashiach, the hashgoche will manipulate the Umi Seilom. What do you mean Umi Seilom? The United Nations. Who could be referred to as the Umi Seilom? Either the League of Nations or the United Nations. So how did it happen? The United Nations will give a min, will bring the minche to shekosu the dius kolachichem kolagoy minchol adishem. So Medinas Yisrael was the minchol adishem that all the nations of the world, including Soviet Russia, I mean, so unbelievable, they all joined to bring the Minche Ladishem to decide to establish the state of Israel. And then they immediately had Wachezer. But that was the Minche. That was the Minche. So the United Nations was created for one purpose. Now it has no excuse to exist. Because that's the only thing for which it is created. And the sooner it disappears, the better it is for not only for the Jewish people, but even for mankind. They fulfilled one function. They adopted a resolution to establish a state of Israel. And that's it. Now, the Zeya in Parsha Vayeo says that the nations of the world will decide to bring a Minche Ladishem by giving an opportunity to the Jewish people to settle in Israel and to form their own state, Israel Maria, in Shnas Tof Reish Ayin Gimel. So there is a discrepancy in 4 years, because Tof Reish Ayin Gimel, Tof Reisha in Gimel was in the common era in Ispar. In Ispar, Rumeis, it's 1913. The Balfour Declaration was issued in 1917, and then it was ratified by the League of Nations as the nations of the world in those days. So there is a discrepancy in 4 years. Now that's difficult. Why is there a discrepancy in 4 years? It should predict accurately. So if I had been a historian, I would do research to find out. Maybe it should have been issued in 1913, but for some political reason, it was postponed to 1917. But I was never a history student, and I had other things to do, I mean, which are more important, so I didn't do any research. But I have a feeling, an intuitive feeling, that the Balfour Declaration should have been issued in 1930. Why was it issued 4 years later? I don't know. Anyway, so that means that one cannot just, by twitching his nose and by waving his hands, be mivatel midrash Yisrael kafka da. That's not the Derech HaTorah, that's not the Derech HaChochmah, that is this approach of being negative towards everything without showing out the Halacha just on the basis of intuition is repugnant to Torah, repugnant to Halacha, is based upon emotions. Now, one of the of the burning issues in the Orthodox community since 1948, from the first day, is whether Medinas Yisrael is a scouted gule or it is a neutral event. It's not an scouted gule, it's a neutral event, or it's Yom HaVeiles. There are certain Jews who mourn on Yom HaTzmaut. There are certain Jews who treat Yom HaTzmaut as a regular day. And not only do they treat as a regular day, but if somebody doesn't say Tachnu, so they consider him as a non-Orthodox Jew. And especially if he says Hallel, even without the Brochet. So some Jews will consider him as an enemy. So there is a lot of confusion. Now, I'm also a Jew. I also have a point of view, like everybody else. What do I think? Is it Aschalted Gule or it's not Aschalted Gule? Now, I don't like to be mythical and to indulge in sophistry, in semantics. But I want to mention in Medrash Shir HaShirim. Medrash Shir HaShirim, Parshe Vov, and the Posit, Mizois Hanishkofok Moishocha, Yofo Chalvono, Boro Kahamo, Ayumo Kanit Goles. Who is this who appears like the morning star? Now you'll take a look in all the English translations. I looked up many, many translations. So all the English translations. So they translate Mizis Anishkopot Meshocha. Who is the one who appears like dawn? But according to this Medrash, this translation is erroneous. According to this Medrash Chazis, Medrash HaShirim, Shochar as reference, not dawn, Amud HaShachar, but the morning star. There is a difference between Amud HaShachar and Ayeles HaShachar. The Goyet in Shnei Silio, and the first Mishnah in Broches, so he says, that Amud HaShachar is Dalet Nirim, 72 minutes, 90 minutes, prior to sunrise, to Netzach Hamad. Then, Ayeles HaShachar is also Dalet Nirim prior to Amud HaShachar. So in other words, the Amud HaShachar means when light appears on the eastern horizon. The whole horizon is still dark. But the eastern horizon radiates with light before sunrise, but there is already a reflection of the sunlight on the eastern horizon. That's Amud HaShachar. And the Mishnah Yume says that the Kehanim, so before they started the Avedah of the Tumid, so they went up on the roof and they looked whether it's Heir Amizroch. So if it was mentioned to them, Heir Amizroch, there is light radiating in the eastern horizon, then they started to do the Avedah of the Kodentum. And the halacha is that on the Raisa level, all the mitzvahs that require Yehi, so if you can do it before sunrise, let's say Shefer, Lulev, all the mitzvahs that require Yehi, you can do it before sunrise. But Midrabonon, you're not allowed to do it Lechatchila, except in a hardship situation, until Netzacham, until sunrise. So Amud HaShachar marks the beginning of day. So the Goyim points out, Amud HaShachar, here a Mizroch, marks the beginning of the day. But Ayeles HaShachar, Ayeles HaShachar means not that the eastern horizon lit up. The eastern horizon is still dark, but the morning star appears in the sky. appears in the sky. So then it's still Iowa. Still Iowa, Chaladva. You cannot do much with the coffee tummy. And if you take the lulav or you blow the shofar, after the morning star appeared, after the Ayala Sashachar appeared, and before the Amud Hashachar, before the eastern horizon lit up, so then it's no mitzvah, it's a brachah levat Torah, it's nothing, it's still Ayala. But when you see the morning star, you know one thing, that in Dalet Milim, the day will begin. But Ayelas HaShachar does not mark the beginning of the day. Amud HaShachar marks the beginning of the day. Now, in all the translations, I looked up so many translations. I was interested, and I saw, I can't say all the translations. I can only say all the translations that I looked up. I couldn't possibly have looked up every translation, but I looked up many translations. The old times translate, Nizois HaMishkopot Moishochar, who is the one who appears like dawn? Yofor Kalvono, fair as the moon, Boro Kahamo, clear as the sun, Ayumo Kanitgoles, awesome as an army who marches on the banners. That's the literal translation. But the question is, how is Shoha to be translated? So, no translations is translated into dawn. But let's see the Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Shir Hashir. Parsha Vov. Al posik nizois hamishkopok meshoha. Dilma means itma. Rabchie v'rabshinen v'chalapte havim halchim v'hado bikas abir. We are walking. These two chachomim were walking in a certain valley. Bikritzoso. When it was close to the day. Bikritzoso means close to the break of dawn. V'ro ayeles hashachar. Doesn't say that. V'ro Amud HaShachar. V'ro Ayeles HaShachar. And the Goyim says in Shnei Kiliyot that after the Ayeles HaShachar, it is still Ayelo. It is still Ayelo. V'ro Ayeles HaShachar, Sheboko Eirok. And even the morning star, while it's still night, but it radiates light. It's night, but it radiates light. Omale Rebchie Rabbe, Rebchine Chalatke, Kach Tie Gulotson Shal Yisrael, Mitzatzetes. Kime Kime, little by little. You see how the day develops? It doesn't come, you know. There is no one line between the transition of night and day. It's a gradual thing. First, you see the morning star, and the morning star radiates light, but this is the Mevaseh. The Mevaseh, this day is to come. The day is closed, but it's still night. Then comes the Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar, all beginning, marks the beginning of the day, but still midrabbanon. All mitzvahs that require yayin, v'chatchila, you're not allowed to do it, let's say, like lulav, shofar, except in a hardship situation. But otherwise, you're not allowed to do it. And then you have the Netzach Hamo, and did Netzach Hamo, it's still not a real light, and then v'chatzis hayayin, so then the Hamo is the emtzer akia. Kach b'yoloson shal Yisrael. Yechsiv, it's a posik in Micho, Peir Zion. Ki eishev b'cheishach, adishem early. Even when I sit in darkness, still night, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is my light. In other words, so he said that, when the boat observed the Ayala Sashacha, the morning star, Bitchilo Hibo Kimo Kimo, Vahakachin Natsnetzis Bo. So, first it's Kimo Kimo. What's the first Kimo? The first Kimo is Ayala Sashacha. The second Kimo is the Amud Hashacha. Then it's already the beginning of the Yayim. And then, but that's not the real Yayim either. Then comes the Netzachamo. V'hakachin Netzachubo. V'hakein Poro B'robo. And even after Netzachamo, it's full Yayim. Iman al-Chatchil level. But it's still not the prime of the Yayim. Then it's Poro B'robo. V'hakein Mirateves Be'ilachas. Kach. So, then the Medrash Chaziz mentions certain psukim that Pius strange, kach, bithchilo bayomim oheim umodecha yeshi b'sha'an alach. So, beginning, umodecha yeshi b'sha'an alach, v'hakein umodecha yotzom lifnei amelach, b'mvusok. So, what does it mean? Umodecha yeshi b'sha'an alach. So Chazal say, the Meforshim and the Medrash mentioned that Chazal, Mordechai Yeshi B'Shar HaMelech, Shar HaMelech, the gate of the king, that means he was a member of the cabinet. In that, in ancient practice, and in the ancient political system, so the advisors of the king, of King Ahasuerus, was an autocratic king, recognized a member of King Ahasuerus's cabinet. So he was still mourning. He was Yeshu B'Shar HaMelech, and he was dressed in his head. It's not. Mordechai Yetzei Milifnei HaMelech Bilbush Malchus. After the meted out retribution against all the sin of Israel and Haman and Aseret and Haman were hanged, so then he decided to don the Bush Malchus. The Hakeim Laihudim Oisoiro Besimcha. So Chazal mentions the three psuki to impress upon us the concept that gule, not only full gule, but any Yeshua is kimotim, can't expect Yeshua, you know, to come just from the blue sky. It has to be a gradual thing. Then the Medrash continues. Kmo Yishochar, so that's Kmo Yishochar. Mashachar, so Mashachar, Shei Mashachar, is Mordechai Yetzei Milifnei HaMelech Bilbush Malchus, after the meted out retribution against all the sin of Israel and Haman and Aseret and Haman were hanged. So then he decided to dunt the Bush Malchus. So Chazal mentions the three psuki to impress upon us the concept that gula, not only full gula, but any Yeshua is chemotic, can't expect Yeshua, you know, to come just from the blue sky. It has to be a gradual thing. Then the Medrash continues. Kmo Yishochar, so that's Kmo Yishochar. Mashachar, so Mashachar, Im Mashachar, Zeh Shein Leitzeil. The morning star has cast no shadow. I'm not very knowledgeable, but I accept what Chazal said, that the morning star doesn't cast the shadow. So, Ima Shacha, Shein Leitzeil, Yochel HaTisrael, okay? Since Shlein HaMelech says, Mizo is HaNishkopot Moshacha, who is the one who appears like the morning star? So that means the Jewish people is like the morning star. So maybe that implies just as the morning star doesn't cast any shadow. So the Jewish people, they cannot protect themselves under the shades. Ima shachar zeh she'im yitzeil yochel ad yisrael keil talleima yofo kalvona. It's not only analogous, the Jewish people is not only analogous to the morning star, it's also analogous to the moon. The moon does cast the shade. Yofa Kavona. Ima Halvona Azu Eineiro Goru Kach Yisrael. After all, the light of the moon is very dim, very faint. Some miserable Jewish people cannot shed real light, only faint light. From Lima Bora Kacham, Hadol Gersiv, the Abot Titis Hashemesh Bibirosim, Ima Hamo Kipachas, if it's Bora Kachamo, it's as clear as sunlight, and sunlight can do harm. It can get December, so maybe the Jewish people is like the Hamo, it can do harm. Af Yisroel, Yochel Af Yisroel came, that it's Kipacha, it can burn, Talmud Lema Yofo Kalbona. On one hand, it's compared to the Hamo, that it's radiating, it's capable of radiating a profusion of light, not just faint light. On the other hand, it has an advantage over the Hamo. The Hamo can do a lot of harm too. It can get a sunburn. You have to know how to take the light. But the Jewish people is compared to the Hamo, that in the sense that it is capable of radiating a profusion of light, an abundance of light, not just faint light, but on the other hand, it's compared to the Ribono, that a Ribono doesn't harm. It doesn't shed as much light as the sun, but it doesn't harm. No one ever got burned by looking at him. So, Ima Hamo Kipachas Yochel Af Yisroel Keil, Talmud Lema Yofa Kalvono, Hadol Dichsiv, Mayoko Chaz Dichoel Keil. Ima Livono Zu, Pomim Chaseiro, Pomim Yiseiro. After all, the moon has a tendency that certain days keeps on waxing inside and in brightness. So, at the beginning of the month, keeps on waxing, night after night, in size and in brightness, in the middle of the month, reaches the full moon, it reaches the zenith. The full moon, once it reaches the zenith of the full moon, then it starts raining death. Is that the destiny of the Jewish people? It's like Levono. Your focal Levono is in the sphere of the moon. In other words, it has stages of waxing and phases of raining. So is that the inevitable destiny of the Jewish people? Then it's a very lonely destiny. It is always destined to wax and to wane, to wax and to wane. Talmud Lema, I mal vono zu ponim chaseiro, ponim yiseiro, yochel ad Yisrael kei, Talmud Lema, boro kachamo. It's yofo kalevono in the sense that it is unlike the chamo, that while it radiates an abundance of light, it has a very detrimental potential. It can burn people. And you have to know how to look at the sun. You have to apply an ointment, otherwise you'll get a sunburn, you have a lot of pain. So the Jewish people is like the Levono. The Levono has no detrimental effect. You don't have to be careful in looking at the Levono. But, on the other hand, it's not like the Levono completely in the sense that there are stages of waxing and the stages of waning. The destiny of the Jewish people is not one of inevitable loneliness. Now, it can keep on waxing and remain in a full moon. It's not inevitable that after the period of waxing, there should be a period of waning. Then the Medrash proceeds. Im hamozu nishameshes b'yelim v'nishameshes b'laylo. Because when it's dark, the chamo doesn't appear. Yochel af Yisrael kei, Talmud Lema yochel kovono. In other words, Jewish people can shed light even when it's dark. The chamo has one shortcoming. The chamo sheds light only when there's light. But when it's dark, there is no chamo. The chamo is there in the universe, but it's not nishamesh. It's not mishamish. It doesn't shed any light. But the Jewish people is yofa kalevana. Even when it's dark, even when they are faced with adverse circumstances, even when they are subjected to persecution, to humiliation, to discrimination, they still can shed light, not only upon themselves, but upon all of mankind. They have the potential of yofa kalevana. Even when it's dark. So this is the pshat of Teofil Kalvona. Now there's Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, "Umamachshakim uishivani zetalm bodel." Almighty God placed me in darkness. That is reference to the Talm bodel. What is the Talm bodel? But when did the rejection of the Talmud Bavel take place? When? In the darkest period in the Jewish history. And the Rambam in the Hadome says that the reason is why the rejection of the Talmud Bavel took place in the Rabbine Veravashe, because Rabbine Veravashe took notice of the fact that an era of discrimination and of persecution will follow, and then they had to put the Torah Shebaal Peh into writing. So Machshakim Shivani, the Talmud Bavel, the Babylonian Talmud, that gave light for the whole world, for the whole universe. When was it redacted? When? The Machshakim, in the midst of darkness. So that's the potential of the Jewish people. Baruch HaChama. What? They have one superior attribute over and above the sun. The sun is only Misham B'Yayim. Misraelam nimshul lechama, v'Yisrael nimshul libano, ha-chidish hazeh lachem. So Misraelam also contributed towards civilization, towards mankind. Did it Egypt, the Babylonia, Syria, the Hittites, Greece, Rome? Did it all these ancient nations contribute towards mankind, towards civilization? Of course they did. But they are only meaning Mahama. There is no Yofo Kalvana. Tor Kahama, yes, but not Kalvana. It can only be Samizdiyei as long as Greece and Rome prospered and blossomed, and they were overtaken by prosperity and wealth and power. They were able to contribute to civilization, but the moment they were faced with darkness, they started to rot and disappear. But the Ummah Yisraeli, they never in the past had such a glorious period of Bor Kachamo as the ancient nations, Egypt, Babylonia, Syria, the Hittites, Greece, no! But only Kacham, only the angels they are able to be shamish, not the Lila. The Jewish people is on one hand Bor Kacham, on the other hand it's also Yofo Kalvana. But that's the Medrash continues. Adol dechsi bimim shel bayeim ubalayim. Kach Yisrael, bayeim ubalayim. Im achamo ubono ein lo em eimo. Chamo ubono do not appear awesome. They do not appear awesome. When somebody looks at the chamo and the levono, so he is not overtaken by a feeling of fear, of awe. Kach Yisrael kach. Talmud leimar ayumo kanigoles. What does ayumo kanigoles mean? Awesome as an army that marches on the banners, on the flags. Kided Golin shall marlo, kigin digle shall mihoel, ve digle shall gavriel. So the Midrash explains, Ayumo kanigoles, the Jewish people, it appears as awesome as an army that marches under banners. Two banners. One banner, one flag is the flag of Mihoel, and the other flag is the flag of Gabriel. Why does the Midrash mention only two banners? There are many more banners. Just two banners, Michoel and Gabriel. Vayorai in the pasuk in Shmei, at the beginning of Shmei, in connection with the revelation, Bimara Hasne, in the midst of the burning bush. So the Torah says, Vayorai lov malach adushem, mitei chasne, rab yeichan en oimei el zeh michoya. So the angel of God appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the first revelation that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So the angel of God appeared to him from the midst of the burning bush. What was the identity of the Malach? There are many Malach, many angels. What kind of a Malach was he? So there is a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Yochanan Eimei Elzeh Mechoyah. The Malach HaVishem, the angel of God, who appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu from the midst of the burning bush was none other than Malach Michoel. And Hanina Inayel said that here. He's got the Adam Malach into the foil, the real, to say, you know, before we go to bed, the Inayel Choyel is the Gabriel, me, me, from a real, my real, the foil. No one says that the Malach Hashem was a real, the foil. Rabbi Yechon says it was Michoel. Rabbi Hanina says it was Gabriel. Why? Right after these two, and what's the machlek? Now, when the Rebbeinu Shalom send the Malachim to Abram and Sarah, so who are the Malachim? Michoel, Gabriel, and Raphael. Michoel was the one who was sent to tell Sarah that you'll have a child. Gabriel was the shliach to overthrow Damon the male. Raphael was the shliach to cure Avraham. So that means that Michoel is the malach of Sablonis. Michoel, in other words, Mi komeicho adishem. Michoel symbolizes the concept of Sablonis, of restraint. Sarah was 90 years old, Abram was 100 years old, and he gave up hope of having a child. And Sarah mentioned it. So Michoel was sent. You had Sablonis, and you will have a child. Gabriel is symbolic, as the name implies. Gvuraske. Gvura. The concept of Gvura and the approach of Gvura. Raphael is the messenger to cure, to heal people. Now, the revelation in the burning bush, so, is really reflective of the blueprint for the approach that the Jewish people has to take in its encounter with the Umis Eilon in the course of generations. The question is, what approach is the Jewish people to adopt in its encounter with the Messiah? There are two approaches that could be considered. One is the approach symbolized by Malach Michoel, Sablonis. Sablonis. Hablagas, it was called. Sablonis. To take everything. Suffer and take it to exercise his grace. The other one is Vuakil. Vuakil doesn't mean has to show them just for what it means. Vuakil. Vure, divine Vure. Vure that is backed by the highest concepts of life. So the question arose. The question arises, what approach is the Jewish people to adopt in its encounter with Umis Eilam, vis-à-vis the attempts by the Umis Eilam to destroy us? The whole day of the day, reindim aleinu echaliseinu, akolish boch matzlein liyodom. Of course, akolish boch matzlein liyodom. But the Torah says, so Chazal explained it, so he cannot be bought here. He cannot be passive. We are scuffling to the danger. What approach should we adopt? Who is to be our guide? Malach Michael or Malach Gabriel? And get the machlekes. And what the Rebbeinu say in that revelation, so the whole revelation from the burning bush is expressive of the loneliness of the Jewish people, the millennial loneliness, even though the Psukim speak directly about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Medrash Rabbah says, Kol mokim shenemar, Omar Avlezer b'Yaakov. Kol mokim shenemar, Avrom, Avrom. Oy Moshe, Meshe. So, echod loy ve'echod nideyot. We find in respect to Avrom Avinu, at the time of the Akedah, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam called him twice, Avrom, Avrom. And in the burning bush, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam called Meshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Moshe. So Rebbe Yaakov says, that means one Moshe is directed to Moshe's generation, and the other Moshe is directed for the future generation. So the Nevuah, the blueprint that is spelled out in the Nevuah of the Snare, has application to all the generations. Now, so, Atzid Kodayot, Moshe, Moshe. So, Roy Roisi, Sonny Ame, of course, the Rebbeinu Shalom, Akkadish Boruch, Matrim, Yodom, but, Bishosh, Timan Yivorech, Hadishem Lekecho, Bichol Ashatase, Bishosh, Atreise, the Lord Bishosh, Atreise, Botel. We cannot be Botel! We cannot remain passive. We have to apply one of two approaches. Either the approach symbolized by Nechol, Sablanut, Ablaga, cut everything, and not to defend ourselves, or the approach symbolized by Gabriel, Vuraskev, not Hasholem, naked force, but defend ourselves, and to resort sometimes, to force that is backed by the highest concepts of right. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Zeh mechoyer." Rabbi Chanina Omar, "Zeh Gabriel." I don't think the machlekes. Yitelu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. Now the Gemara says in Ksubes, at the end of Ksubes, on the pasuk, "Yishbati eschem bnei Yerushalayim in toiru v'intoiru esahava chetachpot." And that pasuk is mentioned three times in Shir HaShirim. And each time it's mentioned, so it's mentioned twice, in Toiru v'Intoiru. So Sheish ways is Biyakodesh Boruch. So among the Sheish ways are Shel Yal Gechemo, Shel Yimudu Yisraelom, Shel Hishbiyasu Yisraelom, Shel Yishtabdu B'Yisroel Yisam Dai, Shel Yigalu Es Asod, and shall Yerachek Lesakeitz, then Rashi mentions that Rabbi Gnir said, shall Yivchek Lesakeitz. Now, all that is deduced from the Psukim Yisharashir. But we have a call, in Nobi Rashoy Lechadish Dovon. Nigim cannot be Mechadish in Yuala. So the Gemara many times says, Postik Zeh Nitiras, Meisha Lula Madno, Elam יחזקיל בן בוזי למדנו, סתימורים זלוחים, ועלי אינובי רשוי לחד יזבו, אלו יוחס מיר עלי, ועושה יחזקיל ועס וחקו. So there are no new alohes in me. If we find something that appears new, it's not spelled out in the Torah, so either it is implicit through the Midrash HaTorah Midrash HaDan, and if it is not implicit in the Torah through the Midrash HaTorah Midrash HaDan, it must have been Halacha Mishnah Sinai. There are no new Halachas. Immediately, Teiro Tzivolon Moshe Mirosh HaKuras Yaakov. All the Tzivolim, all the Mitzvah say, all the Mitzvah later say, are mentioned in the Torah. There cannot be any Tzivolim over and above Tzivolim in the Torah. Zichu teres meisha abdi. The last Navi Malachi. Zichu teres meisha. As the Rambam says, the function of the Nevi'im was to chastise the people and to encourage them to follow the covenant with Noah. That never again will there be a flood to destroy mankind. So Albert Einstein and Professor Linthal believe that's a very reasonable explanation, but science has a different explanation. What is the scientific explanation of the rainbow? Because when it rains, so then the atmosphere is moist and there are particles of water, and then the sun comes out, so there is a process of refraction. So the rays of the sun are bending because they have to pass from one medium into another. So because of that, as a result of the Sphira Sanitatis, the bending of the rays, so a spectrum is formed. So that's why we have the rainbow. What the rainbow? If you ever look at the rainbow, also the stature because so the green says the stature means the ear. But just to take a look, a superficial look, there's no effect. So if you ever look at the rainbow, you'll see it's the most beautiful thing. It's the spectrum of color. And we say the two things to that. So now we have to say, to say how and now to say, now we have to say,